Ian Basarabi. We're talking the future of work. And this morning we're trying to navigate when to step back from a so-called brilliant idea. Ian, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. Thanks. And you?
Excellent. Thank you. So, interestingly enough, my first book was called Carry On Baggage, but my working title throughout the book was Putting Down the Banner. And because a lot of what I dealt with was the decision as to when to put something down rather than continue holding on to something, fighting something, working something, etc. And sometimes the act of decision to put something down, to walk away from something, is a lot more difficult and a lot more courageous.
Absolutely, Howard. And to contextualize where this topic came up is attended a hackathon last week. Now, for listeners that don't know what a hackathon is a hackathon is essentially a get together where you get a whole bunch of like-minded people, you give them a problem to solve, and it's time based, and the whole purpose is to come up with a solution in as quick a time as possible. And it was just amazing to listen to how interactive the discussions was, but what caught me was how honest and open the people were, and equally how the recipients of that information just kind of like took it. They didn't take it to heart. They didn't get upset. Like if somebody had an idea that the group didn't think would work, they called it out and they said, no, that's not a great idea. That's a stupid idea. And the person said, okay, great. Let's move on. And I was blown away is because that is just such a new way of thinking. And it really got me thinking about, do we spend so much time trying not to give up because we get caught up in our idea? We convince ourselves that our idea is
And we've been
good.
Schooled at that, correctly so, because there's a balance. You know, anyone who's got kids will especially know the story where your kid can go to, they commit to do an extramural activity, and 3 weeks into it, they say, nah, I don't really want to do this anymore.
And what do we say as parents?
And we say, and you're going to continue
I've
it.
Paid for this.
I've paid for it. You've committed to it.
Yeah.
And now you're going to finish, which is an important lesson.
Absolutely.
A very important lesson. But that also inculcates in us this concept that actually changing directions is failure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the one thing that I try and tell people as well. Well, what I've learned out of this is that just because you give up on a so-called stupid idea, and I think we've got to distinguish between giving up and moving on from something, is that if you look at an idea, something that you really thought was great, by giving up on that idea, you're not giving up on yourself. You're not a failure. And I think that's the unintentional, if I can call it, association people make, is that if they had a great idea and they told everybody, this is going to change the world, blah, 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 and they thought this was the best thing since sliced toast, as we say, And we find that it's a failure. You don't want to give up on it because you worry that people will think you're a failure. And for me,
And that you'll think you're a failure, actually.
Absolutely. And we need to build resilience and to understand that actually talking about these failures and talking about these ideas that don't necessarily, go according to plan is part of the learning process. And I picked up a very interesting word once again, and I'll take this from the startup communities. The startup community use a word called pivot. Now, pivot is a very fancy word, and all it essentially means is the idea didn't work, we're starting again. So you'll often hear a startup turn around and say, oh, no, we've pivoted our idea, or we've pivoted this solution. Mm. And all they're saying is we tried it.
And that way didn't work.
Exactly.
So we've had to move in a little bit.
Absolutely.
It might not be a dramatic change.
No.
But it is a change. It's the other word, of course, that is being used at the moment, which is absolutely vital, is agile. To be able to say, you know what, we need to change how we're looking at it. And, it doesn't mean, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, failing fast, failing quickly, you know, because the sooner you do that, the better.
And the point I'd like to make is that failing fast is kind of a good idea in theory, but practically it doesn't really work. I like to call it failing mindfully. And what I mean by failing mindfully is you assess and you reflect. It's so important to reflect on why something failed, because the most important thing is to make sure you don't do it again. And that's really what I teach people and tell them. It's only a mistake if you do it twice. And if you do something and you learn from it and you grow from that experience, then you can continue to fail because you just see that as part of life's experiences. And for me, it's detaching your emotional state and your passion that you put into an idea or that, and not getting emotionally attached. Because if you get emotionally attached, it's sometimes very difficult to let go. And I've learned, especially moving out of the corporate world and moving into a more entrepreneurial and more agile, as you use it, the right word, is that it's become so important not to become sensitive and attached. I know you use the word sensitive often on the show, but
why would I use the word? Because I'm not.
Because you're not sensitive.
Is that actually
we
why?
We all know. No, you're we not all
everybody
sensitive.
Does everybody know that?
Everybody knows that.
I mean, can you imagine if I were?
Yeah.
We've been in a lot of trouble.
Exactly.
I think it's such an important word, even though that we joke about it. But if you get attached to every single thing, you'll never let go and you'll never move on. And that doesn't mean you don't put everything into something, but you've just got to understand how to manage your emotions.
Right, absolutely right. I'd love your thoughts on it. Time is 8:18. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem on 101.9 Chai FM. Referring to that song I played earlier, Karen says awesome music. Ronnie says that was nice. The meaning of it is starting over or starting afresh, which is so interesting. That really just works so well with this conversation that I'm having with Ian. And Jonathan says, very nice song, much better than yesterday. We're going to take some ads. We're going to take some traffic because Anati's been, she's like SIA today, refusing to work. You know, it's so hard to be objective because there's financial pressure, there's emotional stuff, there's all sorts of things coming at you from all sorts of places. How do you sit down objectively and say, okay, it's a good idea, but it's not going to work. This is what I need to do.
So I'm going to start from the point of being very obsessed with your idea, and sometimes we feel like it's utterly brilliant. We come up with something and we literally believe that we've created a masterpiece, you know, and that we often do that. And that's even before we started working on our idea. But then what you realize is when you catch yourself, marveling at the light bulb above your head, I think it's time to take a break. You're not thinking clearly. And I think that's where you have to be objective. You said that word objective, which is so important, is we get so caught up in the dream, or we get so caught up in the idea, and we don't actually focus on its implementation. So you've got to catch yourself. You've got to actually be clear of mind, and you've got to actually keep, I use this word very, because I don't think we do enough of it. You've got to reflect. You've got to constantly reflect and work it through. And even if it's not working it through yourself, sometimes you can't be the most objective. Find a person that you can talk it out to, somebody that is neutral, somebody that will give you objective feedback. So that's the first thing. I think the other one is that, as much as I think we'd all love to believe that we've got an original idea, somebody's thought about an idea that we've come up, and you'll not always be the first. It's very unlikely you'll be the first. You've just got to come up with an idea that is better. And I think everybody that has this idea of novelty, an idea that you don't have competition, and you're going to be the only horse in the race, if I can call it that, is also unrealistic. So forget about being original. Just focus on being better. And when I say better, look at what's out there and say, what can I do that improves?
So a lot of it is really about delivery. It's about, it's actually about realizing the objectives of whatever it is. It's not just about the idea, because that's only one part of it. Where I'm not sure that I fully agree with you is, I think a healthy dose of lack of objectivity is sometimes good, in that I think some of the incredible innovations and successes that we've seen have come from people that sometimes are completely, that we've thought are completely mad. And objectively, if they had to take into account all of the reasons why they shouldn't succeed, they probably shouldn't have succeeded. But somehow that passion and that drive and that, I think, madness has helped them succeed. That's the day. For me, that's the difficult part, is because I do think that objectivity is sometimes a bit of a myth, and sometimes is maybe the worst thing.
So how I distinguish between that, and I hear exactly what you're saying, is it's self-belief. And when I say it's believing in yourself is the most important thing, is because you have to be rational in the sense that you don't get caught up in the naysayers, because that's the whole thing. You know, I think if you looked at all inventions and everything, and how many times people got told that their idea was mad, or it would never work, blah, 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 all of those things that we hear, people wouldn't have pursued it. So I think belief in yourself is important, but I think there's a thin line between believing in yourself and being somewhat arrogant and not listening. And I think it's about listening to what other people hear. It doesn't mean because somebody turns around and says that, no, Howard, that idea is a bad idea. It's understanding why they're saying that. They may be seeing something that you're not seeing, and that doesn't mean giving up on your idea. It just means maybe reflecting and looking at it. So I don't say that you need to always toe the line and say, well, I'm not conforming, so or this is out of bounds, or this is too much out of the box, I need to pull myself in. I think you just have to be rational, and you have to listen. I've always said that you can listen to other people's advice, but you don't have to take it. That's the power we have.
I love that. That's the courage. Time is 8:32. Apologies, your news headlines are slightly late. Are you ready for Black Friday? Are you doing the research that you should be doing? Lindy says, I've done my price checks and Googled and currently have stuff in my cart to see what the price drops will be, so then I can just check out if I think that's a good idea.
That's very clever.
That's
very clever, and it goes back to being aware. You know, we've been talking about awareness, not just listening to what Stephen was saying, is that we can get caught up in emotion, and it's very much, you get, you know, the worst thing that websites can do is put that timing clock on that. Like,
the best thing they can do.
Well, it's the worst thing
for them.
Yeah, for them it's brilliant, but for us it's like one day only is brilliant, because you go then you go, oh, I've got like 11 minutes. And I remember my son saying, we've only got 11 minutes. And I'm going, but we don't need that. And he says, but we've only got 11 minutes. And that's where your emotions. So doing your homework, and also making sure that you're buying the right product. Be very careful, because
We were talking about it also during the break. Yeah. If you don't know what you're buying,
yes.
I mean, I'm not a particularly tech savvy person. I can land up buying a 1983 TV, think, because it has the word HD somewhere in it.
Absolutely, and that's the problem. You have like that age old saying, buyer's remorse. You get home and you kind of look at this and you go, was it really worth it? You
know? And think of when you're buying tech. I think of what your 14-year-old will say.
Yeah. Maybe take them with you.
Or get
them to do the research.
Absolutely. Because if they're going to look at it and say, oh, Dad, you know, that this is like really, this is so 2017, you know, you're not going to feel good, even if you've got a good deal.
It's quite funny, Howard, because, and I look at it through my teenage son, is he sees through all the bells and whistles and all the gimmicks. And I don't. I get sold on that stuff. So if there's a really good salesman, and he does a good so-called song and dance, I kind of get sold. And my son will go, nah, that's...
Yeah, like, that's ridiculous,
you know,
Dad.
That's a PlayStation 3, you know? Not that I know the difference, but anyway.
Right, exactly, yeah. Exactly, absolutely. I'd love your thoughts on it. 34519. How do you do your research? So, Nati, are you buying anything? Or are you getting ready for Black Friday?
No, I never prepare.
I also don't. I'm a very bad preparer.
Me too. So, literally, it comes... And because payday is literally after, it's always after Black Friday. So I
think that's brilliant.
So I never prepare for it from the previous month. So I'm always, it's never a thing for me really. Yeah, I never have FOMO.
About Black Friday?
Yeah.
Funny, I don't either really, I have to, I have to say. Ian, do you actually buy on Black Friday?
I don't buy tech on Black Friday because I think that is where you can get much better deals if you do your homework. I think where you do is if you're looking for an appliance, if you've been looking for a new fridge or you've been looking for a new oven and that makes sense. And I would say to people, if you have like a need, like if your washing machine is on its way out and you've been putting it off, you can probably do that. But the tech for me is there's so many new things coming out at the moment. Like if you look at, especially in the Apple and Samsung stables, they've just released a whole bunch of new products. So going back to our earlier point, you're going to end up with old stock. And to your point, Howard, you've got to be very careful with tech is because we're also getting to the end of the year. Next year, there's going to be a new phone or there's going to be a new device. So stick to the appliances. That's my view.
Yeah, just know what you are buying. It is 8:52. I'm Howard Feld.